Hey, wonderfuls. Welcome to episode 308 of the podcast. This is a special live version of the podcast that I had the pleasure of doing at SF Sketchfest last weekend. I was joined by my musical guest slash, I'm going to go ahead and say almost co-host, right? Matt Nathanson. I'm going to go ahead and say my co-host. Matt Nathanson. I'm going to be bold. He's done the show with me several times, and I just love having him and love his energy and his music. And then my marvelous, marvelous guests, Scott Adsit and Aparna Nansherla. I had a great time, and I think you will enjoy it. I hope you will. I want to thank everybody who came out to SF Sketchfest, not just to any show I was in, but any show at all. There were so very, very many to choose from. And I also want to give a special shout out to some people who have become friends through the podcast, who came into San Francisco at the same time and had their own Redwoods and More adventure, Christiana, Amanda, and Bella. I'm so envious I wasn't able to join you, but it makes me so, so, so happy that some fun, dumb thing I did brought you together. So thank you for sharing that with me. And other than that, I want to alert those of you who are into improvised comedy podcasts that I have a new podcast coming out called Voyage to the Stars, starring Felicia Day, Steve Berg, Colton Dunn, and myself. You can follow us on Twitter. Check it out, Voyage to the Stars, if you give it a Google. And then I want to remind people that I will be at PodFest. So that's it. Do a little research, do a little homework, get back to me, and I hope everybody's doing great.
Hey, remember when we could save kittens from trees or lunch on skyscrapers, bring the villains to their knees? Maybe we should move someplace new and build a time machine. Go and get us back. Ooh, before we were brittle. Back before we were brittle. Hey, remember when all of time stood still and really all you'd need was a peck from her? Maybe we should trade for some physics or black market spines to go and get us back. To-do, back before we were brittle. Back before we were brittle.
Can you guys hear okay? This seems a little bit low, is it? No? Let's do it in order.
Southwest.
You know who you are. Yeah. Back, top left. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the JV Club. I love doing the show live. These are... I'm so afraid that like this is blocking someone's view because it's so tall. Thank you so much for coming. As Cole mentioned, it's the last day of the festival, and it's been, 60, 75 days of fest. Yeah. You did a show on Friday night, Mr. Matt Nathanson.
I did. There were big waters there, too.
That's your number one takeaway.
I've had to piss.
Are you sure you remember even what the...
Yeah, like all weekend I've had to piss. It's just like... Yeah. Get this residual
it's
thing.
It's certainly the most hydrated festival we've ever had. What you did bring the rock, the wonderful Greg Behrens, Bring the Rock, and that's how you and I know each other,
yes.
Mr. Greg.
Yeah, Greg does Bring the Rock, and that's where comedians tell stories and then sing, and then I get up and tell an unfunny story, and then I sang a Kelly Clarkson song.
Oh, you sang a Kelly Clarkson song?
Oh, yeah.
That was my next question.
I told my Taylor Swift story, and then I said, now I'm going to do my favorite Taylor Swift song, and I played Since You've Been Gone.
Oh, shit. Would you say that's the most rebellious thing you've ever done?
Yeah. I went rogue, as it were, if I were going to quote some folks. I went rogue, and I just did it. I said, fuck it, is what I said to myself, and then I said it to everybody else.
Did you play guitar, or did you just sing, and the band covered the background?
The band played, and I had to sort of, like, stole myself, and then squeezed my testicles at a very high chorus. It's like, I did it in my kind of metal voice when I sing Iron Maiden in the car.
Yeah. That's, you got to go falsetto Yeah.
And then the middle eight actually is even higher than that. So it was fun.
God. Yeah. This seems, I'm sure I've had this thought before, but I don't remember having this thought before, that it's so counterintuitive how falsetto so much metal has been.
It's unbelievable.
Like, you'd think that it would, because it is sort of like there's an aggression to it. Not in a bad way, but you wouldn't necessarily imagine that would take you right out to here.
And as I get older, it gets more difficult.
Yeah.
As I get older, it's like, it's crazy that, I don't want to talk about testicles, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but can I be totally frank with you?
I hope that you will.
Yeah. So as you get older, your ears get bigger, your nose gets bigger, your brain shrinks, and then things sag, as we know.
Sure.
It's not fair. And so I don't think it's fair that my testicles are larger probably than they were, but yet I can't
find them.
Yeah. They're usually just behind me. Is that weird?
What a delight you are, Matt Nathanson.
It's so fun hanging out with you.
God forbid I actually have you as a real guest on the show.
Oh, this is so much more
this
fun.
This is definitely the third time. Is it only the third time?
It feels like... yeah, I think it's third. We've had I like this. I like being Ed McMahon. I want to show up at your house with a large check.
Would you?
That's right, I will, Janet.
Listen, but seriously, those checks, those checks weren't real, right? Please don't laugh. I don't know the answer. But because is there a government thing where a check can only be so big? Or can they actually say, like, no, this is a check?
Yeah, I mean, I thought...
Is there a limit to how big a check can be?
Yeah, I thought it was right on. And then you could never lose it. Like, oh, shit, where'd that $1 million check go?
That for some reason I haven't cashed.
Yeah.
Because I've lost it.
Hanging around.
Is that why? The bigger the amount of money, the larger the check should be, I guess.
There's a story, there was a story about Prince making so much money at a certain point in his life that his ASCAP royalty checks were like... $350,000, $400,000, and he just would not cash them. And so that's why Ed McMahon, sort of a circular story, but that's why the checks are so big.
That's why.
It's all because of Prince.
A lot goes all circles back to Prince. He was quite extraordinary.
Oh, my God, he was the best.
Not to malign Ed McMahon. He seems great, too.
He's no Wilfred Brimley.
He's no Roddy Dangerfield. I got those two confused when I was younger because there were two movies that came out around the same time, both about older men, like grandpa age, going back to school. One of them was called Back to School, right? The other one was called, does anyone remember? There was one where Wilford Brimley goes back to school with his own grandson.
Whoa.
Yeah. You're pinching yourself that you can't believe that such a wonderful thing could have happened.
Do you remember the one where Gary Coleman lived in a locker at the train station and went to Harvard? That was killing. That was so much better.
That's right. It was that generation's Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I'm troubled that I don't feel like any of you had a true answer. You were all worried that you also felt... Actually, I don't know if it was a real check. It might have been a real check. So we got to get working on that.
Google that shit.
We got to put the internet to work on that at some point. I took a break from doing my podcast live last year. It's not that I just didn't invite you.
I thought I was like, hey, Sketchfest, can't wait to...
I took a break from doing it. It was sad and hard not to do it on some level. But when we were planning the festival, it was a situation where I thought... It's one thing to guest on other shows when you're also producing a festival, but it's a little different kind of intimidating when it's your own. And that's why this is going to stink to high heaven.
Yeah.
No, that's why I have wonderful guests. I want to just quickly say that since we last podcasted together, I have moved to the Maximum Fun Network, which is a delight and a joy. I have very much enjoyed being on the network. It's okay. You can give it up for Max Fun.
Give it up.
I'm sure a lot of you listen to other podcasts on Max Fun. This is not a plug for a network I'm already on. I don't have to. Hopefully, I'm not like forced
like,
to make them
like,
happy.
Like she and
you're,
can
in every episode, you're going to talk about how great we are because we're fun as wrestlers. I don't know what that voice was. No one at Max Fun sounds like that. Was it? I'm Travis McElroy. But I will say, and this is nothing against the network that I was on formerly, which was the Nerdist Network, but they were understaffed, and I loved my engineer, but he just wasn't, it was not a place where, like, a beautiful office full of people working on podcasts. So now I have all of these emails with various members of Max Fun, and I swear to you, to a person, every response they give is A, adorable, be super witty. Like, everyone that I get back is like, why is this person more talented and funny than I am with just a simple response to something? Like, it's a office full of, like, smart, sweet nerds.
Is it all in caps, like, all the emails? Max Fun. Like, I feel like...
Like, okay.
Like it should be like, Janet, like, that was great!
Like it's an energy drink that might give you a heart attack.
Everybody's just fucking pounding Red Bulls.
No.
They're like, this is fucking...
No, I would say it's a very chill environment. Oh, nice. But you're right, it is Mac, you do have...
Maximum
Fun! Travis McElroy!
All
right, moving on. Should I bring out my first guest?
I mean, it's awesome back there.
In other words, don't, because everyone's having a good time
awesome.
Back there. Why spoil it and bring them out here?
Ton of water, and we had some pretzels, and we're having a fucking laugh.
Yeah, it was good.
We were laughing, so bring
I think it's going to be okay for them to come out here, too.
I think so.
Folks, please welcome my first guest, Aparna Nancherla. Hi, Aparna. Please, have a seat. Please, have a seat.
Hello.
Thank you for
thanks
doing
for having
the podcast.
Me. It is great back there.
It's
so great in the green room.
It's great in the green room.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there is a certain amount of, like, overheard in the green room? Like things that are said backstage at places
like
that you're like, I wish I could tell you what happened in the green room.
I always feel like there's... It feels like if you weren't in the green room, you want there to be something that happened in the green room. But if you're actually in the green room, you're like, oh, I can finally sit down.
That's also
it's
true.
It's a lot of sitting.
Yeah.
A lot of phones. Well, I was on my phone. But yeah, I wish if there's stuff happening in the green room, I feel like people are doing it very sneakily because I didn't see it.
Oh, like canoodling?
Yeah, I don't know, drugs.
Those are the two big ones.
Canoodling and drugs.
Yeah. Now it feels like it's too hot. Sorry. I think I was being like paranoid that it was too loud, and then I think I made it too loud by saying something.
Oh. You made it a
Listen,
maximum
I got,
podcast.
Loud
equals fun. You're right. So anyway, sorry that I'm giving mixed messages.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the most exciting thing I've seen in a green room, and I feel like it's always been something that I wasn't there for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, you should have seen.
Yeah, you should.
Matt Besser, Ian Roberts, they all did like a human pyramid.
Yeah.
They were like, we've never done this. We weren't cheerleaders. Yeah. Let's do it now.
They formed another theater.
Yeah.
The Downright Citizens Brigade.
Listen.
I don't know.
Somehow, some sketch group has like parodied that.
Sure.
Like, their own.
I feel like there are a lot of ideas being thrown out in green rooms that don't happen.
Yeah.
Don't come to fruition.
Yeah. Have you ever met someone in a green room that was like a hero of yours?
And yeah.
Was it, you said that like maybe it was a good experience. I'm hopeful that it was. Oh, sorry. Have you ever met Matt Nathanson in a green room?
No.
That was
Nor
an amazing exchange.
Outside a green room. We had never met anywhere.
Yeah. But that's okay. But you can also answer about meeting someone else other than Matt Nathanson.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not holding this hostage.
I think when I started comedy, one of the first people I maybe opened for was Maria Bamford.
Yeah.
I think I met her in a green room, and she was very nice.
That's a really good person to then meet first, because you will not be disappointed.
No,
you'll
never.
Get like the sweetest, most wide-eyed.
Yeah,
another person.
I know.
Like it's, she's so. Oh,
it's so exciting to meet her.
When did you start doing comedy?
2006.
Okay.
Remember?
I know. I'm sorry. I do. I'm sure I.
No. I just meant. Oh, my remember tattoo. The yes, year
you 2006. Started in 2006, and
it was,
I do remember
it was
the
an
year
okay
2006.
Year.
Yeah.
For comedy, good year for wine. I don't know.
It's probably a great year for wine.
Yeah.
What made you kind of take the leap to going like?
I think
I
don't know if this is common, but I feel like I got into comedy kind of on a whim. Like I didn't grow up watching all the shows. I feel like a lot of other people I know are like, oh, I grew up watching, you know, Kids in the Hall, SNL. Like I wanted to do that, and I feel like I discovered it later. Maybe in high school I started watching Conan and some SNL, but I think then was like when the seed was planted. But then I didn't try it till college. Stand up, I think I just tried an open mic, and then I think that was the first time I was like, oh, maybe this is something anyone could do. Because I think first I thought comedy was like something like the circus, like you had to be born into it.
I totally understand. I still feel that way about people who own birds.
Well, yeah. No, I think that's true.
Yeah.
Who just is like, I'm going to get into birds, like, yeah, late in life.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then I confirmed it, and I still remember this episode because I confirmed it with a guest who, in fact, did own a bird. And I said, like, how did you get, like, did you just decide to get
was
a bird
today? Bird?
And she was like, oh, I grew up with birds. Like, my parents own birds. And I said, that's
of
it.
Of course.
Do any of you own a bird?
Yeah, Not a one.
Enough said. No.
I did learn in San Francisco more people have dogs than kids.
Oh, really?
That's what I learned at another show. Is that true? Seems new to this audience.
Sure.
That's us.
How many people have dogs?
We have a yay.
Wow.
This is a good survey. How many of you have kids? It does sound like there's a higher proportion of dogs.
Yeah.
And that, if that's not science, I don't know what is. Yeah. I think we just completed that survey and proved it. No denying.
Some hard data.
Did people, this is such a gross question to ask a comedian, so I apologize.
If I have kids?
But how much money?
No.
In a year. You can give me gross or net. Were you like a funny person to other people? Do you know what I mean? Were people like, you're so funny, you should elbow.
I was very shy and always like an observer. And I feel like I would say things under my breath. And then finally, when people started listening to them, they were like, oh, that was kind of funny. But yeah, I realized to be funny, you have to have an audience. So I think even if I was funny early on, I didn't know. Because
Yeah,
your stuffed animals, they're a good crowd. They don't leave, but not
the
best for feedback. I have an older sister.
How much older is she?
2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and she was the more like outgoing one, I feel like. And I just like coasted. Like, I feel like I was her shadow for a long time, where I was like, you do the talking and I'll just be here.
You'll be the yes
sidekick.
Lady.
Oh, yeah. Just the quiet type guy.
Yeah. What, did she mind that? Or like, did you have
Was like a very good older sister in that she was
nice.
Like, I got this.
Yeah. It wasn't like, get away from me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we fought. I think I bit her when I was very little. But I think that was just to even it out, because I think she dropped me on my head when I was even smaller.
Okay.
So I think that just evened it out, and then we were cool after that.
But was it something that you remembered, or you'd heard tell that she had dropped you, and you were like...
I think I had heard about it, and then I was like, but whenever I try to remember it, everything goes fuzzy.
Yeah. So when you had the front part of your lobe,
exactly.
You became very, and that's when you started killing people, probably.
Mm-hmm,
you started by biting her.
Yep.
We all know that's how many killers are formed.
Yes.
Where did you bite her?
Mm-hmm.
Both location and location.
Oh, playground and...
That copies, yeah.
Upper arm.
Out. Upper arm, okay.
I feel like this is how maybe an improv show would start. I need a location and where you would bite someone.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think a lot of improv shows I've done would have gone much better if we'd started with that specific of a thing. Were you a good student in high school?
I was. I always felt a little bit out, like, because I went to a high school that was like a magnet school. And
where?
Thomas Jefferson.
Gotcha.
You know?
What city?
Alexandria, Virginia.
Done.
What? You know it?
No.
You created it.
Neither of those things are true.
Oh.
I was acting like I was posing you a challenging question.
Oh.
like I was going to throw you off guard. Yeah. Like you were going to forget where you were from for a second.
Oh,
like, aha,
yeah.
Where? And you're oh, like,
right. Yeah, you are a spy.
You were able to, strangely, answer the place that you lived very quickly. Yeah.
I thought you knew it,
because
when people know it, they're like, oh, TJ. Because it had a reputation in the area because it's a magnet school. So you're like, oh, you went to the nerd school.
Oh,
was,
okay.
That was like the
What does
reputation.
DJ stand for?
TJ.
Oh, TJ.
Thomas Jefferson.
Got it. Yeah. I thought you...
It's a code. It's just the first letter of each word.
Hold on. Can someone check that online? I don't know. I just want to make sure we're not being... So that was it was a public school, but it was like a science and tech
school, which I wasn't really interested in, but my sister went there, so my parents were like, just take the test, and then
your parents
you don't
were
have
like,
to go, but
just,
you will go.
Yeah, do everything your sister does. We don't have to think about
it
much.
Yeah. But I sort of did that thing where I like did well in school, but like I definitely wasn't like a science and math person at all. I was like, I guess I'll do this because my parents seem to like it. But I think in my head I was like, but then I'm going to write stories and jokes. But I didn't know how I could make that like an actual career or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
How intensive is, like, for as an example, I went to a public school, but I went to a fine art and performing arts public magnet school. And so the main stuff we would do is, like, we definitely had a music class. And then we had the extended day programs during the afternoons where if you were a kid whose parents worked later or whatever, you could do two electives. But that to me felt the most like, oh, this is the performing or the art stuff. And then, you know, there was all the other subjects were there. How intensive and how focused on science and math was your magnet school?
I mean, we had like English and like a language class, but then there was also this what was it called?
Build a rocket.
The rocket class.
I went to performing arts
school. There was like a science track, a math track, and a tech track. So every year you would take one of each of those. And I think later I took like biochemistry or like stuff that was like so specific for those fields. Yeah.
Were you good at biochemistry? I mean, like,
No.
I'll handle this.
Okay.
Were you good at biochemistry?
I'm fascinated.
Oh, I am
don't
too.
Think I would. No, I don't think I would. I don't think I had an aptitude at all. I was like, I guess this is what people do. They become scientists. But I was just showing up and coasting.
Yeah. Were there athletics at that school also?
Yeah. There was a bumper sticker where the joke was like, TJ, we came for the sports, because everyone knew that you didn't.
I mean, I can get on board for that.
Good.
I can get on board for that.
Yeah.
Did you ever kind of express to you? So you didn't really have a conversation with your parents where you're like, is there another option, or is there?
I think I just sort of started doing comedy and they were like, oh, okay, I guess that's what you're doing now. But they still were like, maybe you should go to grad school, like after I went to college and stuff. But yeah, I think I've always kind of just done whatever, like followed a path and then just been like, I guess I'm doing this now.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't have that driving ambition that some people
have. I don't think so. I mean, I have a competitive streak, but I don't think I have that like vision board singular focus.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to be a better guest? You're going to beat Scott Adsit as guest on
as
the podcast
guest?
Today? I know you have a competitive streak.
Oh.
You know you can always bite him.
Exactly.
Which is like a
that's
good way
true.
Just to sort of pull focus
that's
for a second.
That's usually my plan B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Let's see if you can manage to bite Scott Adsit in the upper arm within the first 3 minutes that he's on stage.
Okay.
Shall we try? Let's see.
Challenge accepted.
Okay, great. Folks, please welcome our other guest this afternoon. I just want to see how long. Mr.
Oh, wow. That was really impressive.
You know him from TV's 30 Rock. He is the voice of Baymax. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Mr. Scott
Janet.
Adsit.
Janet.
Woo! Oh my God. Whew.
How are you?
Oh, you're ready.
Oh, yeah.
You're ready.
I'm great. How are you?
Great.
Say something to make her mad.
Oh, yeah. You gotta unleash the rage.
This is so fun. This is so fun. I feel like we're on a playground.
Is there anyone else there with you? It just looks like a shadow.
That's a callback, because she was
like
her sister's shadow.
Yeah. Your sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought your first segment here was great.
Thank you.
I think you're really funny. And
well,
also,
you've been on here before, so I feel like...
He hasn't up on
this
tried. Podcast.
Oh, no. But you guys have history.
It's a first timer. Oh, we've got history already.
Okay, hold on. Break that.
Mutter.
I mean, it's just the history of two people being friends, I guess.
Yeah, but that's history,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it's history.
I feel like we
always... We've never had a fight.
Ever?
I don't think we have we?
No.
We're not interesting enough.
I know.
We're not passionate enough about each other.
We're not. We're like your relationship to going to that school.
Yeah.
Like someone put us in front of each other and they were like, you guys are friends. And we're like, yeah, all right.
But if I have some really good advice for Janet and she doesn't take it, it's like, okay, whatever. Bear yourself.
Yeah.
I'll watch.
Do you give good advice?
Great. Oh, do you give good advice? Have I come to you ever for advice? Have we come to each other for advice?
You're Janet Varney. You get it done.
That's your tagline. I like that tagline. I'm Janet Varney. I get it done.
I don't know that that's a true
That's what it
or
says
thing.
On the wrappers of your line of energy bars.
Wow.
Oh, my God. What if I had my own energy? What if that was my one dream for product design? Like, if I get to be as famous as your Matt Nathansons of the world, I'm going to come out with my own protein bar. I'm not going to waste my time and talent.
If you do go that route, just please make sure that the protein to sugar ratio is right.
Think there should be much sugar at all.
Thank you. That's it. Yay.
You're welcome. Is that a good idea? Scott, I need advice.
Do it. Spend some money, for God's sake.
Wait, I would have to spend money?
Yeah.
You gotta spend to make.
You gotta spend to make.
And you gotta eat protein bars to make.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that was a euphemism for going to the bathroom
until
very recently.
I found that out when I was a child, yeah.
Wait,
when someone's like, I gotta go make.
What?
Why? What would you?
Wait.
Is that what it is?
It depends on how hungry you are,
I
guess.
Drop that protein bar. Yeah. In there.
I've never heard that.
You've never heard that? My next door neighbors had that, and it disgusted me as a child, and it still does. It's icky.
It's saying so little.
What does he say? I'm over here in the dark.
I know.
Some people, instead of saying "Did you go boom boom," they said "Did you make?"
Oh, so the protein, then he didn't say, you want to make a protein bar with me or something? Like, that was what I thought. This whole thing really devolved in my head into some dark, dark shit. Ted Bundy level. He's like, hey, Scott, how are you? You want to come make some protein with me? You're like, I don't know.
Hey, my
is.
Arm's broken. Help me lift this tiny protein bar into this van. That's small for a... Yeah. I've never heard it called make boom boom either. I would assume that was like, hey, do you guys get together to make boom boom?
Make boom boom and then you shit on them. That's right. Crazy. No wonder my life has been such a mess. You want to make boom boom?
I'm begging you. I don't care which 5% of you it is, but 5% of you, please, just a couple of times, refer to taking a shit as making a protein bar. Just see what happens. Say it to someone you feel safe with who's not going to judge you so that you can then say, like, oh, I promised I'd be part of the 5%. I signed a thing. There was a form. There will be a form at the back of the house. So maybe make boom boom and did you have to make is like a, what is that, like an Illinois thing?
I don't know. It's just... It struck me as odd because it was always my dad would say,
in Illinois.
Say this. In Illinois, my dad would say, and only within the confines of Illinois, he would say, I'm going to, he would disappear and announce it by saying, I'm going to go poopies.
Wow.
Your adult male father.
When he had me, he was 6, to his defense.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
But does make it better.
That was as my sister and I grew up, that was what we heard, and it remained that until his death.
Did he say it in a cute, childlike voice? Or did he say it in a dead, serious voice? Like, I gotta go make
poopies. It became the official term. So eventually it was just the fact of the matter. It wasn't like being cute or trying to avoid a word. It became his term.
Aparna, could you please set? Could we do a scene so I can really just a quick scene of you, a conversation, and you play your dad. Aparna, you be whoever you want. Okay. I don't know really anybody else that his dad would know.
I'll just also be there.
Yeah, and but like let's. I just want to hear it in context.
Okay.
So I finished the Jenkins file.
Oh, great, great. We can then move on to the Perkins file.
Great, and I think the Sears Roebuck thing is going to fall through. I'm afraid. The Sears Roebuck?
No.
We were going to set up at one end of the east side of the... I'm sorry, I just have to go poopies. Can I just...
Of course.
Can you give me...
Of course.
30, 35 minutes?
Of course.
Great.
I'm not a monster.
Couple things.
Yeah.
Did he say that to strangers or that was inside the family thing?
No, I think believe that was only with strangers. We eventually demanded he say it to us as well.
Wow.
And also, why were you going to lose the Sears Roebuck thing? I'm genuinely worried about this file.
My dad was a real estate lawyer, and Sears Roebuck was his big client.
Whoa.
And he put them in Northbrook Court.
Does that... Anybody? Anybody?
Why?
And he worked in the Sears Tower.
Okay.
On the 78th floor. Mm-hmm. And he did very well with Sears. Sears did very well while he was guiding them. But I think Sears is now falling apart, right?
Yeah. Right?
They've gone poo-poo.
Poopies. No one talks
they've
about Roebuck
boom
at all.
Boom boom.
Oh. Poopies.
Oh, poopies.
He needs to go poopies. Yeah.
So is the boom boom room just a bathroom?
That's a good question. The boom boom room.
Yeah, that was a place here.
Yeah, that's a...
John Lee Hooker's
that's
boom
like
boom
a...
Room.
Yeah. That's
where
a real
you
rock and roll.
Poop
like
and have sex on it.
Zoom, zoom, zoom in the boom, boom. Mm.
Yeah.
It's like a slip and slide.
Oh, no.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Is there a dog in a car at a bar on the street?
Yay! I'm Alea Gringo, a small dog owner. My dog Pistachio howls when she's excited.
And I'm Renee Culvert, a big dog owner. My dog Tugboat tips over when he's sleepy.
And we co-host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog that airs every Tuesday. We bring you all things dog.
Yes, dog news, dog tech, dogs we met this week. We also have pretty famous guests on Butt Legs. We're not going to let them talk about their projects.
No.
Just want to hear about those dogs.
We don't want to hear about your stuff. Only your dogs. So join us every Tuesday on Max Fun.
I know everyone was impressed that I already knew you were from Illinois.
Arizona.
Fuck.
No, you're from Arizona.
Yes, yes, yes. Right? Yes. Where in Illinois?
Northbrook, Illinois. Where,
well, that's right.
Where Northbrook Court is.
Your dad put Sears Roebuck at Northbrook Court.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's about 20 minutes north of Chicago, mm-hmm. kind of affluent, near north, I think they call it, the North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of near Lake Michigan. It's about a 10-minute drive from Lake Michigan.
I think I've asked you this before, but I can only put things in context as how they relate to me. So I can eventually come back to myself as the center of the universe. How far is that from Evanston and Willamette? Because those are two places that my dad grew up.
It's just north of Willamette.
Okay.
And that's just north of Evanston, which is just north of Chicago.
This better be
which
true.
Which is just north of St.
Louis. Oh, you could
Louis,
do this a long time.
Which is just north of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Which is just north of the South Pole, mm-hmm. which is just north of Australia.
Okay. Some of those justs are longer than others. The just north is not, like, there's not an equivalent amount each time. It doesn't jump up, like, the same amount, I bet. Like, 20 minutes versus several hours. Is this our first fight?
Wow. I would say as someone sitting in between, the tension is palpable.
Isn't it? This whole podcast is about to go to poopies, I think.
If she feels cornered, we might both get bit.
It's true. I gotta warm up to it.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to do some stretches or something? Or?
I don't know. I feel like we live in an era where touching people, even with your mouth, especially with your mouth.
Yeah, I would love it if even with, like, please don't touch me. With your mouth is okay, but otherwise, please don't.
Is frowned upon.
Yeah.
Especially in a professional environment.
I would agree with everything you've said. Do you guys, I am a person who did grow up being very sort of tactile with other people, and I do now have a paranoia about sort of crossing into someone else's personal space in a way that I didn't. Like, I am, I guess, an age or just from a world where, in my mind, it's only kind of a positive thing to sort of, you know, like, oh, and put your hand on someone's arm. And I feel horrible. Like, I feel like I've abstractly projected back to the thousands upon thousands of times I've been like, thank you so much, wondering who of those people were like, please don't touch, like, in their minds, like, I don't want you to touch me at all.
I'm one of them.
Thank you. I can finally confront what happened in my paranoia and say, I sincerely am sorry. I absolutely would never want to do anything. I think I thought I was doing the opposite by putting a hand on you. And I completely respect and understand that that doesn't have to be an exchange between us for us to still like and respect each other.
But
Scott,
I would like you to know that before you touch me. As a stranger, right. I would like you to understand that I don't want to be touched before you do it.
Okay.
You're going to have to wear a sandwich board of some sort.
Yeah.
It's up to you. You've got to divine that.
Okay. I already know you. Is that going to be a problem?
You can touch me all you want.
Oh, okay. All right.
This is getting good.
Do you still feel like the tension is palpable?
Yeah.
It's a different kind of tension now.
Yeah, yeah. It changed.
It did, didn't it?
Different level of
tension. If the previous tension were a color, what color would it have been? And what is the color of this tension?
Abana? We are out of conversation.
No, this is... Listen, this is a science and technology high school question, so
oh,
I don't
great,
expect
okay.
you to understand.
I would say it was blue-gray,
mm-hmm.
and now it's mauve.
I love it.
Mauve.
I love everything about it. Scott Hatzel, what was your high school like?
It was nonspecific. It was not a technical school. It was not any art school. It was just a high school.
Public?
Yep. And it was... Actually, it was affluent, so it was very lucky for me as an actor to be inspired because they had this. My high school had the most advanced theater in the state when it was built.
Oh,
and it had an orchestra pit on hydraulics, and it had
what?
Three-story.
You're not kidding.
Three-story fly, 1,500 seats. It was outrageous,
whoa.
And I got to perform there. And I said, "This is a good job."
Yeah.
And here I am at the Gateway.
And yeah. Yeah.
If you want, I'll lift you up.
Yeah.
Hydraulically. I'll just get behind you.
Does that mean
you
have to, with air? Isn't hydraulics sort of like, oh.
I'll just blow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
Yeah, I think if we all get together, we can make it happen.
Up.
Yep, yep.
That was weird.
Yep. Yeah, super weird.
There
yep.
should be a that podcast way. Where everyone is suspended on wires.
Nothing about it is different, but the
yeah.
person listening to it,
I think it would be
knows that someone is hanging
from
a wire.
For the people at home to imagine.
Every once in a while, you'll just hear someone go like, and you're like, ah! They're on wires.
Yeah,
wires.
That's it.
Yeah, nothing else different.
Oh, yep, there it is.
Yeah. So it was not a specific... that was incidental. It was incidental that there was an extraordinary theater... In a high school that wasn't even saying, like, guess
oh.
what? We specialize in, you know, this.
Well, they wanted to feel special, for sure, and they had the money to feel special. And I've been back to the school, and it's expanded, and they've put in, like, a spin room with a big glass wall, and you can walk down the hall and see people spinning.
Oh, I thought you meant when there were problems, people lied.
A lot of
they got,
political
they got
turmoil.
A room yeah, yeah, yeah. of fixers, of teenage fixers.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
To talk
right.
about where that homecoming
yeah.
money went.
Yeah. You made out with her boyfriend? There's a way I can spin this.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
so funny.
I love that. I want there to be a spin room.
Maybe it
you
is.
Put that up. I'm sure
maybe
they can afford
it. Maybe it is, but they're all on bikes.
You're right. Why would it be one or the other when it could be both? They have the money to do this.
That place is magical.
I know. What?
John Hughes probably built
oh,
it.
Oh, there it is.
I'll tell you this. John Hughes went to that school.
What? Yeah.
Every John Hughes film you see is about my
what
high school.
What do y'all think that proves? I had the same reaction. I was like, uh-huh.
It's another reason to dislike me, I think, is what they're saying. Aha, one more.
Did you relate to John Hughes movies? Like, did it feel
familiar? I didn't like them. When they came out, I poo-pooed them. Yeah? Boom-boomed them.
You poopsied them?
I made them. I made those movies.
Why? You just did.
Are you just a terrible snob? I didn't think they represented reality in any sense of the word.
Yeah.
And the Breakfast Club being the worst defender.
Says the guy who had hydraulics in his high school theater.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was happy to do the night throw spent in jail and treat that like it really happened. But like the conversations and the the characters in the Breakfast Club and other things like that just really bothered me.
You were like, those two would never make out in a vet. They'd make out in a Porsche.
Wow. You're trying to turn people on me now.
When you were a kid, were you like into like Serpico? Like, what was your thing?
That's
Serpico.
A good question.
Like, what movies did you like? That feels real to me.
Star Wars. Planet of the Apes. It'll happen. Your hubris.
Yeah.
Will cause us all to be enslaved by apes.
Were you into you read comic books and yeah. How did you, do you remember sort of how you kind of came to discover comics? And I say that because I've said this on the podcast before. I just didn't have an understanding that I wouldn't have known where to go. I mean, obviously there were comic stores. I didn't know where mine would be in Arizona. Like, I just didn't have the relate. Same with D&D. Like, no one I knew, these were things I heard of, but there was no immediate connection where someone would go, hey, do you want to read my comic book?
You had no newsstand or drugstore that would sell comics?
I don't remember seeing like a ton
the outside
of
your house
anywhere. I don't have a memory outside of my house. Wait, is that weird?
It's not a great story. A friend of mine has a mother who ran a bookstore, and she got him a book called The Origins of Marvel Comics in 1975. And so it's like Marvel was like 10, 12 years old, and it was just the first issues of Fantastic Four, the Hulk, Spider-Man, Thor, and Doctor Strange. And I borrowed that, and that fascinated me and all that. I understood stories for once at the age of 10.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's something that you've continued to kind of collect and be...
Well, still the only stories I understand.
Right. Right, 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 right. Right.
But yeah, I do. I don't collect as much as I used to. I've refound it in college and collected for like 10 years. And then it became less and less and less. Now I collect original artwork and stuff like that.
Can you tell people about the book that you have? It's more than one now, I think, probably.
There's four, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So I went to comic book conventions a few times growing up, and then I started getting invited to them when I got on 30 Rock, and I ended up meeting a lot of artists and writers that I enjoyed, and one of them, Mark Brooks, said, you should start a sketchbook, which is you buy an empty sketchbook and then you give it to an artist, and for a certain amount of money, they will draw a picture of whatever you want. And so he said, make it a theme book, and then I'll do the first one, and then everyone will have to try to beat mine. And so I chose The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which was a great book before it was a terrible movie. But it's an amazing Alan Moore book, and so I just started passing this around, and people were very nice, and mostly did it for free, so that was unheard of. And so I've got four books now full of original sketches from artists I really love of Extraordinary Gentlemen stuff, and I've been interviewed about the book, and there are artists who have written to me asking to be in the book. So the book's got its own rep now, and now it's the book that gets invited to conventions. But it's a thing. A lot of people do it. And mine just happens to be full of just extraordinary people. And Alex Ross...
Extraordinary gentlemen.
Yeah. Alex Ross, who does these paintings of just a photorealistic Superman and stuff like that. He's a very famous guy, and he does covers mostly. And he... asked if he could do one, and I thought he might draw a Mr. Hyde from the book, a sketch or something, just a quick thing. And what he did, he presented it to me. We went out to dinner, and he gave it to me. And It's a fully painted picture of the 30 Rock cast as the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
And so Tracy Morgan is Captain Nemo, and I'm Alan Quartermain, and Tina is Mina Murray, and Alec is Mr. Hyde. It's like a photograph. It's incredible. Wow. I've put that online. I don't put much of them online, but that one's online. If you search 30 Rock and the League, you'll find it. It's really good. And then the book is written by Alan Moore, who famously hates any interpretations of his work. He doesn't like anything to be made into a movie or a TV show. And when the rights get bought like that, he refuses to have his name on it. And he just says, I've written it to be in this medium, period. So I got home and did a scan of that picture to put in my computer, and as I was scanning it, I saw that he had put an Easter egg on the last page of that sketchbook. And so I opened it up, and he had drawn Alan Moore, who looks like a hair monster, with these like really penetrating eyes, and then he wrote this thing at the bottom of how much he disapproves of this book.
Oh, wow.
It's genius, and it's just... You know, it's just brilliant.
Did you have the conversation about why he assigned each cast member a certain league member?
No, I think it just. I mean, I look the most like Quartermain, I guess, and I think probably Alec has anger issues, so he's Mr. Hyde, Tina is the lead character in the book, and he made Judah Friedlander, a Martian. There's a Martian invasion in the second book, and it's this brain thing with tentacles and a beak for a mouth and huge eyes, and he put a No Fatties hat on it. And so Judah was a Martian, and Jack McBrayer, the page, is in The Invisible Man. It's just his hair floating above a suit.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So those are the kind of stories you felt better represented real life. We've established that. Were you into performing and stuff when you were in high school? You said you
Yeah. I started performing in junior high, I guess.
Yeah.
I was doing little one-man shows in my backyard for a while for my family. Some of them were just like, you know, very rudimentary music videos of me running around the backyard, acting out a song very literally.
Oh, for sure. I did that too. I mean, that's...
Did you gather your family and make them watch?
I mean, I grew up with a dad, so yeah.
Okay.
It just didn't take very long to gather everybody up. You, come here.
This
is Huey Lewis's song, as I interpret it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I would occasionally act out a Planet of the Apes idea I had,
mm-hmm.
My sister and I would create the Haunted Mansion in our basement.
Oh, neat.
A friend and I did Mr. Toad's Wild Ride in our basement.
So when you laid down the tracks
all right,
for
well,
the car...
Wait, let me stop you there.
What's the insurance like?
Yeah.
It was just putting someone in a little cart and then pushing them around the basement past things that we've drawn... Which is essentially all
I was
that ride
say,
is.
Yeah, you nailed that it. Like that pretty much is the ride.
And it did end in hell. Just like the ride. In the ride, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, you end up in hell being tormented by devils.
Yeah. Let
and
that
then,
be a
And then you walk
you.
Back out into Fantasyland.
Yeah. How did you represent hell in your basement?
We just threw fire at people.
Oh. And when you said that you did little one-man shows in the backyard, I was kind of imagining sort of maybe what we think of as... like the sort of characteristics of maybe a bad one-person show, which in my mind was like, you know, this idea of like a six-year-old being like, my life experience, like I gotta, this is what it's like to be me. This is my dad.
Show.
Hey, Scott, why don't you go poopsie? And then me being like, yeah, old man, get out of here. And like,
yeah, my journey, my revelation.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it wasn't like
there's still time for you to do that though.
Well, I've considered doing a one-man show now and then, but I don't think I'm interesting enough. Tell you the truth.
You don't think you're interesting enough?
Yeah. I think I've had a fine life and I haven't learned anything.
That's why you have to commit a heinous crime, but not so heinous that you can't profit from whatever it is that you've done and do a one-person show about it. You need to skirt that line, right? Just enough that you can do something, be arrested, like, this is what we learned from Can You Ever Forgive Me? The wonderful Melissa McCarthy is this author. Have any of you seen it? It's quite, it's really well done. But, you know, this is based on a true story where an author who had was struggling as a writer, but who had done biographies of a couple of people, then starts forging letters from people like Dorothy Parker and Noel Coward and sells them as real. And then when she gets caught, she, you know, has to go. But, like, I think that's the kind of crime you should commit because it makes for an interesting story,
right.
But it's not like you're in prison for 20 years and you can't profit off of, like, the book or one-man show, you're right. But you could do the one-man show in prison. I don't want to limit you.
They've got great programs. Mm.
They got great programs. Probably not hydraulics in the theater. Like,
the prison in Northbrook is great.
Wow.
I'm sure it is.
Northbrook sounds great.
It sounds pretty flashy.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to complain about it.
It sounds great if you're in high school or in prison. That's all I've heard about.
The two.
Same thing.
I hear that. What kind of, what were the plays that you guys were doing?
Who?
In high school, on your hydraulic orchestra pit.
I think, you know, the compulsory ones. We did Guys and Dolls and Brigadoon and The Night Thoreau Spent in Jail and A Cat Among the Pigeons, a farce.
So far...
I haven't heard of one.
I know.
Like, you know the usual ones.
And then the Night Thoreau Spent in Jail, I've never heard of. I mean, I know it happened.
He spent one night in jail, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's a study of his philosophies through his musings while he's imprisoned.
We literally did the Hobbit as a musical in my school. Yeah. That's what we did, and you're doing like this deep shit.
Listen. We were doing plays that like student teachers wrote because we couldn't afford to get the rights to anything.
Oh, that's really fascinating.
So, yeah.
Were they good?
What were you?
What if I did a one-woman show about the shows we did in high school, where I would just give little snapshots of the various characters that I and other high school students played? Yeah, I could never get the rights. Yeah, they were like you know things you've never heard of that I've never heard of since.
In Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like. A play, just like a one-person play about how they didn't want MLK Day to exist.
Let it go, buddy. Wait, listen.
Sorry.
Yeah, but that was my early days of pun work. We actually protested when I was a little kid when that happened. My school went and protested in front of City Hall, and we got to make our own signs, and my sign said, Save the Holiday, Fit for a King, and I was like...
Wow.
It's smart, but it's also true. Yeah. What a dork.
Ugh.
But this is also the person who ran for student by secretary in junior high, and my poster said, Avoid the Blarney, Vote for Varney. Because my dad told me that Blarney was the Irish for, like, bullshit, and it turns out no one knows that. Everyone was like, what's the Blarney?
My dad used to say, my mom's...
Is Blarney
Irish.
Running?
My dad's Jewish, my mom's Irish. It was a great marriage. And and my dad would say, it's almost like you have the Blarney stone up your ass.
Oh.
To her, he would say.
Because when you kiss the Blarney stone, it gives you the gift of the gab. That's how the Blarney stone works. You go to Ireland, you kiss the side of a castle, and it gives you the gift of the gab. And he said, it's not like you kissed it, it's like it's up your ass. That's what he said.
So he's saying, and I know this is really more complicated than I thought it would be. He's saying that she talks too much because the Blarney stone is inside her body.
Me, I think he thinks that the too much gab.
Okay.
I guess because when something's in your ass...
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm still...
Not sure what he meant by that.
I don't know that he... I don't know that that was a good, like, zinger.
No, you imagine? Just like,
it may not have been a great zinger.
He did not kiss that stone.
He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't.
He did. Well, no.
Well, it's his loss, Matt. Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Hello, this is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process. We're talking about how the creative process is in itself an art form, in our opinion. There are underlying forms and structures that serve as a scaffolding for any creative endeavor.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
New episodes will be coming every other Monday,
starting January 28th.
So please listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, listen, I cannot believe that it has already been as long as it has that we've been on stage together, guys, but I do want to get the Smash game going. As always, Matt, you will not be participating in this because until you come to my own home and sit on my carpet with me and come on as a guest, as the Blarney Stone intended.
I can't sit, though, because I got this stone up my ass. Wanna, wanna, wanna.
Let me get a word in edgewise, will
sorry,
you?
Sorry.
But I am going to be conducting this very important survey. Aparna, you'll appreciate this because you love science and tech. My takeaway is wrong about everyone with the live podcast. There was too much going on. I remember that Aparna wanted to be a scientist. No, that's the opposite of what she said. I'm going to play this math game with each one of you. It always is a little bit challenging when we have two going at once.
Ooh.
I think we can take it. I think we can do it.
I believe.
Do you? That's the other thing about the live podcast is suddenly I realize like, oh no, we're going to have to just do our own episode and we're going to have to do our own episode and you and you and you and you and we're all going to have to do our own episodes. So this will serve as kind of a fun few extra things to learn about you. Scott, your first category, Aparna, if you would like the same category, you may also answer and then we'll sort of go back.
Okay.
Please describe to me three comic book characters that you just rolled your eyes.
There's more to me than that, but go ahead.
Whoa.
Please describe three comic book characters that you feel don't represent you adequately because there's more to you than that.
Good save.
Thank you.
I'll say Fool Killer.
Okay.
Because I don't mind fools.
Okay.
I'll say Doctor Strange,
okay,
because I'm very normal. And I will say Supergirl.
Okay. Because you're neither super
reasons,
nor girl.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Aparna, thoughts, or would you like a different category?
I'm not well versed enough in comics. I feel like I wouldn't do it justice.
Okay. How about three?
League.
Oh, shoot. I don't know why I went slow-mo.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, how about three? Now, you don't know, so...
Okay.
And for those of you who know, don't roll your eyes or be judgy, because I, like Aparna, there's a lot of sort of peripheral... There's a lot of superheroes out there. Three superheroes you would create that, to your knowledge, do not yet exist.
Okay.
Could be like what their power is, or it could be like their name, or both.
Okay, the rescheduler.
Yeah. There better not already be a rescheduler. I'm gonna be so mad. The rescheduler, great.
let's see. The.
Was that Nanny Nanny Boo Boo while you were thinking?
I don't know. Was it?
Maybe.
Where'd that come from? this one, I don't even know what this one is, but the purple dot.
The purple dot.
And I'm going to say donuts.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Okay. All beautiful. Aparna, when you were in high school, what would you do to sort of disappear into your own imagination? Or
I was a big reader, not comic books though, more just novels.
Okay,
and, yeah.
So three books from sort of any time in your life, any books you can think of that you would like to be able to sort of jump into. You're not reliving the plot; you're just sort of engaging with the characters in those worlds.
Okay, I just started reading Harry Potter for the first time, so I'll say Harry Potter.
Great.
Four.
A lot of people would agree with.
Number four, the fourth one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's Goblet of Fire, right?
Yeah.
Bob Lafleur.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. Because it's a quest, yeah. So it feels like it has a, there's a completeness to it. Great. Okay, Goblet of Fire. What I have written is Harry Gob.
Perfect.
I mean, what's next for you?
I'll say the Phantom Tollbooth.
Great.
He's one of my faves.
Fantol. Great.
And did anyone read Sideways Stories from Wayside School?
I did. I haven't.
Oh, it's really, it's very absurdist. It's just like an elementary school where everything's really weird.
I like the sound of that. Sideways Stories from Wayside School. Sideways, mm-hmm. Wayside. Great. So you'll have to remind me what all of these mean.
Okay.
I will have forgotten. Fair. Would you like the same question, Scott Adson?
I would say, I wish I had duck feet. Thank you. Because you can have any animal part you want on your body in that book.
Oh, great. Okay. I thought you were answering a different category. Because I like to do this one about what kind of food would you eat if you could have unlimited quantities.
I assume duck feet.
I just assume duck feet. Okay, duck feet.
Michael Palin's autobiography.
Great.
Just to be in his life, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe affect like, things.
Why are you yeah. everywhere I go?
And then I can be in some of the sketches, you know.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah. And The Man in the High Castle.
I feel very sheltered.
Oh, about what books you've read?
I don't even know. It sounded like you were talking a different language. You guys.
Oh, duck feet. Never... There's a guy who has who needs duck feet to feel special.
I didn't think I read or you could. Oh, it's a Dr. Seuss.
It's not Dr. Seuss. It's a children's book. Yes.
Okay.
And it's about a boy who wants to duck feet, and then he decides those are no good. So he gets an elephant's trunk, and then that's no good. And then
can I ask you a question?
Rottweiler's penis, what?
Do I want to continue this? No, does he end up just wanting his plain regular body after all?
Don't spoil
it. I'm sorry, oh my God, I'm sorry. I won't. Don't answer that. Please don't answer that. Please.
Yeah.
Please don't answer that. Okay, great. Let's do our food category. Three foods that, or substances, whatever, drinks, heroin, that you, for whatever reason, in this reality we live in, you can't have. Maybe it's for ethical reasons. Maybe it's, you know, an allergy. Maybe it's just because you wouldn't want to eat too much because you start to feel sick. But in this world, you never start to feel sick.
Yeah.
Three things.
Three foods.
Or something that's, you know, rare. Like, oh, I had this one deep dish pizza in Northbrookton.
We have the best deep dish pizza in Northbrook.
Well, I've been a vegetarian for a long time, so I guess I'll go back to the meats. Okay. I'll say sesame chicken.
Okay, great.
These are things we refuse to eat?
This is like in this reality, you can have unlimited quantities at no detriment to yourself.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Chocolate lava cake.
Great. These are the best things to do live with an audience because you can hear reactions like, oh, yeah, chocolate lava cake. Whisper, whisper.
I don't know, worms?
Great.
Because I feel like they're everywhere, and if I could eat them, it would be useful.
They're everywhere! Sorry, here's one. Really should have. Point taken. Okay, worms. Great. Scott, would you like me to start with worms for you, or are you going to pick something different?
Well, she's covering worms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll take pebbles.
Okay. I love it because some of these, if I just didn't know what the category was and I would have to guess, I would be like, you ended up with pebbles, like, as a mate, as a romantic mate. Okay, go ahead. Pebbles, mm-hmm.
I think there was a thing when I was a kid called space food sticks. I sound like a completely arrested development person. I like children's literature, comic books, and space food sticks. They were completely chemical chocolate bars.
Okay.
And then I'll say human beings.
Oh, okay.
They're everywhere.
It's true.
I'm going to put a dent in that.
Oh, my heavens. Requests from the crowd, a category that you would like Aparna and Scott to answer. Oh, or you, did you have the hiccups? A Disney ride? A Disney ride? Like that becomes a real thing? Yeah, so three Disneyland, or we'll make it sort of amusement park rides that, however you interpret this, are become real worlds in some way. I guess this assumes that you've gone to amusement parks of some kind. Which you haven't.
No,
either of you.
I went to Disney World a couple of years ago. I went to Epcot Center. There's some ride with trolls.
Mm-hmm. Great, trolls.
Oh, yeah. In Norway.
Norwegia trolls.
Norwegia trolls.
Great. I like that this has just become what you can remember. Not something you have strong feelings about, but just like, what do I remember? There was a circle,
I'll say
it was
Space
a ball.
Mountain.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm.
Are you a big roller coaster person?
No.
Yeah, I'm not either, so I'm trying to think of other rides.
Yeah. I mean, we know Mr. Toad's is a real downer. I would steer clear of that.
It really is just things I can remember, because I also did Tomorrowland. Mm-hmm. Has anyone been there recently? It's very sad. Because it was their idea of what tomorrow was.
Right, right, right.
But now it's like yesterday.
Yeah. In the future.
Yeah, but our ride got stuck, and they were like, nobody panic, but nothing was happening. We were all just sitting in a room, and they were like, please stay calm. And all the lights were on, and then people tried to leave, and they were like, please, no.
Okay, I'm going to put... Broken Tomorrowland becomes a real thing. And you don't like, you have you have we had the Disneyland conversation? I can't remember if you're a pro or a con.
No, I'm pro. Okay. I get to go to Disney for free now.
Oh, great. Whoa. Okay.
Your because life is fucking
I know. That's why there's no reason for a one-man show.
Is it because you built these things in your basement and they heard about you and now they're just like,
yeah,
you get to come for free?
Yeah.
I'm an Imagineer.
You're an honorary Imagineer.
No, I was in a movie, so they let me come to the park whenever I want.
Yeah, Baymax.
Like a home movie?
He's in big...
I've been in some movies.
Matt, he's People's in big... Movies, you know Big like... Hero 6? Big Hero 6?
No, no one knows Big Hero 6.
Oh, yeah, the one with the large...
What? No one knows
Big Hero 6.
You're very kind, but it's not in the zeitgeist.
He plays Baymax,
big
the
Hero
big...
Hero 6?
Yeah.
I didn't do any research before I got here today.
No one asked you to, honey. No one asked you to.
And I'm psyched for you.
Yeah.
I'm right next to him.
All right, so give me some rides that you wish were real places.
The Big Hero 6 ride.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Great.
Which they have yet to make.
Okay.
And maybe Space Basement.
Space Basement?
Yep.
Can I just say Spacement?
Yeah.
Great.
That'll save us some time.
Great.
And just a ride, you know... The food is so good at Disney. I wish there was just a ride that feeds you the whole time.
It's like a sushi boat thing, but you're in the boat, yeah. And so you're just going through and plucking.
And I want to be like, I want to a ride where you are, like you go through a roller coaster and you end up in, like the end of every ride, you end up in the gift shop, but then you are something to be purchased, and you can't leave the park until someone buys you.
Whoa.
Good idea, Banksy. I don't know where that fits in because I already filled three categories. Three people from, they can be characters, fiction, some sort of famous person from any era that you would like to have romantic times with in this alternate universe, however you interpret that. You're like, well, I don't like anyone. It's going to be tough. Worms?
Is this room excluded?
Are people in this room? There's no rules.
Okay. I'm here.
Yeah. Matt. Gonna Nathanson. Matt. Mm-hmm. Great.
Wait, so any person real or imagined that you would want to... Okay.
Boop, boop, boop. And you know you can fulfill, like, if you were like, I had a huge crush on this teenage boy or teenage girl.
I was a kid, I did have a crush on a comic book character, Gambit from X-Men.
Sure, this is how the game is played.
Okay,
this is great.
Right.
Gambit, great.
Mm-hmm. Who else did I like? Who wasn't real? I also had a crush on Kevin from Home Alone.
Great.
I think we were the same age, so it was appropriate. And
you know, sometimes people tell me I look a little like Macaulay Culkin.
I see it. The cheeks. Yep.
Somebody's getting lucky today. Okay.
Now, Jenna, you know they mean Macaulay now. He's very
handsome.
Who's
your next
one? Who's my last one? I will say, let's go outside humans.
Yeah.
And this is, would just be platonic, but we would live together.
Right.
Grover.
Great.
Yeah, Elmo took over that whole personality and ruined it. Grover was great.
Right?
And then he was just completely backburnered for Elmo.
He used to be near and far. Now he's just far.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's so far. See, Matt, you got that.
I did.
You know that reference. Scott, what about you?
I'll go with Susan from Sesame Street.
Great.
Susan?
Yeah. She's before your time.
Oh. I thought maybe she's an HR.
She's not a puppet.
Yeah, she's...
There was a chimpanzee at the Lincoln Park Zoo I thought I had an affinity with.
Okay. Yep.
And I'm going to say Jesus Christ. Okay. Because I'm sure he's a fascinating guy, and I want to get his story.
Okay, great. You know, there are people who think that his story... Never mind. Aparna, somehow I'm one category behind for you. Any other suggestions for Aparna? Oh, music video to live in. And this could be a song you like that you even haven't... Maybe you haven't seen the music video version, but you can sort of imagine, right? We could, just in case you can't immediately think of wanting to be in, like, you know, wrapped around your finger by staying, just prancing around with him, knocking over candlesticks, like I remember from when I was a child.
Yeah,
speaking of setting things on fire, Scott, you should appreciate that.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Great.
It was a hell of a video.
Yeah, lots of flattering wind.
Oh my God, please let that be a rider in certain people's contracts when they're going to make music videos. Like, flattering wind, check. Yeah, be lit this way, check. Yeah, great, Total Eclipse. Mm-hmm.
I feel like there have been music videos where people are eating good food, but now I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Right. How about Weird Al's Eat It?
Yeah.
Great. Yep.
And maybe Lonely Island, I'm on a Boat.
Nice. Great. Okay, great. We're going to do this as the last category. Anybody want to... this is good. Yeah. Now Scott's behind. No, that was me messing things up. One more category for each of these guys. We're just going to make it work because I don't want to keep you here all afternoon. Anybody? Yes. Great. Yeah, so you sort of have the bat phone, right, that you can kind of ask somebody, and they're always happy to hear from you from any time, real or imagined people.
Again, my life is pretty good.
Yeah.
John Lennon.
Matt, you probably know who that is, right?
Yeah, he was in the X-Men.
The Lennon sisters. And Lennon Parham.
Barna, what about you?
I'll say Lucille Ball, the dog who played Benji.
Definitely not Benji. The dog who played
the
Benji.
The dog
got
who
it.
Played Benji.
The fourth one.
The fourth one.
Yeah, that was the best one.
Pause to fill.
You already said worms in a different category, so I just...
I know.
Yeah.
That's where I went wrong.
Does anyone have advice for her right now?
You could be that person.
I should pick someone alive, huh?
If you want.
I'll go with Ban Ki-moon.
Okay. Guys, this is going to be unprecedented. Each one of you tell me when to stop. Only give it a couple of seconds.
Stop.
A few seconds. Okay.
Stop.
Great. Okay, hadn't started. go ahead and, Aparna, go ahead and tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Great. Okay. Matt Nathanson, would you grace us with a song while I do some calculating? When I come back from the song, it will be as if no time has passed, except for a song played, and I will reveal to you your 100% guaranteed fictitious match futures. I've changed the entire game just by one slip of the tongue. Your 100% guaranteed fictitious match futures.
Still got the same old number. Still drive the car you hate. I'm still fighting with my father. I'm still staying out too late. I still leave the back door open. I still let the dog escape. Maybe I'm deep down hoping you'll come back to yell at me like you used to do. And you were right, I'm just a stubborn fool who's living in the past. When we were young and we were free, all your friends were friends with me. Swimming in our clothes when the beach was closed, midnight on New Year's Eve. And if you're having trouble, baby, holding on to memories, I got a king-size bed and a PhD in the way it used to be. I got a king-size bed and a PhD in the way it used to be. And when you write your movie, your autobiography, and can't reach the sweetest details, just feel free to call on me. Write how I made you shiver, the ground underneath us shook. The devil is in the details, he and I get on real good like we used to do. And you were right, I'm just a stubborn fool who's living in the past. When we were young and we were free, and all your friends were friends with me. Swimming in our clothes when the beach was closed, midnight on New Year's Eve. And if you're having trouble, baby, holding on to memories, I got a king-size bed and a PhD in the way it used to be. I got a king-size bed and a PhD in the way it used to be. It's ancient history. And if you're having trouble, baby, holding on to memories, got a king-size bed and a PhD in the way it used to be. We were young and we were free, and all your friends were friends with me. Swimming in our clothes when the beach was closed, midnight on New Year's Eve. And if you're having trouble, baby, holding on to memories, got a king-size bed and a PhD in the way it used to be. Just we were young and we were free, and all your friends were me. Swimming in our clothes when the beach was closed, midnight on New Year's Eve. And if you're having trouble, baby, holding on to memories, I got a king-size bed and a PhD in the way it used to be. Got a king-size bed and a PhD in the way it used to be.
Oh. Matt Nathanson, everybody. I like that. I like that break because it actually does give me the opportunity, once I finish these, to sit and feel like such a lucky son of a gun to have the opportunity to have all three of you on a stage with me and to have a reason to just hang out with you because you're really cool and funny and talented and wonderful. So thank you guys so much. I do have some information I'd like to pass along to you. Okay, where do I even want to start? First of all, Scott, I want to congratulate you on your mansion. I'm going to go ahead and combine these two categories. In your mansion in the spacement. So I don't know how those things all come together. How do those things all come together? How do you see that happening?
A mansion with a basement?
Well, I don't know. I think the mansion is inside the basement.
Oh, I see. I think
but it's a space basement.
It would have to be a normal house, like maybe a ranch style with a one bedroom, and then this huge basement that has a much better house inside.
Okay. When you say it like that, it makes total sense. I don't know why I needed... Okay, awesome. So you have that. Aparna, you... you know what? I'm going to just do the... I'll create your whole little world, and I'll create your world. Okay, so Scott, you've got that. You have... I want you to know that at no time does anyone mistake you for the Fool Killer.
Thank you.
Never happen. Well, there was... Nope, never. Okay.
I love idiots.
Okay. who did you say? The Lennon sisters?
Lennon.
Lennon sisters,
they used to sing on Lawrence Welk.
Okay, great. Well, listen, I want you to know that you will receive musical advice, and advice on anything. It will certainly be delivered in musical form by the Lennon sisters from the Lawrence Welk show, topical.
You could have given me John Lennon, but go ahead.
I know. You're the one who made it a theme. You can certainly jump into Michael Palin's autobiography whenever you want.
Thank
and
you.
Sort of walk alongside him. You are very, very apt at eating other people. But for some reason, that doesn't bother your romantic partner, Susan, from Sesame Street.
Oh.
She gets you. She just gets you. So congratulations.
Thank you for that life.
Wonderful outcome, everyone. Aparna, I want to congratulate you on the house that you have as a kind of getaway whenever you want. You can just pop right into the world of Sideways. Now, see, I wrote Sideways Wayside, and that's not a book I read. So what is it, the Sideways?
Wayside School.
Sideways of Wayside.
Stories from Wayside
School. So I guess your house is next to the school.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I don't make the rules this. So I guess it's just
that
in the same neighborhood. I don't know. Okay. Obviously, you've also appeared in at / enjoyed living inside of Lonely Island's out of boat video.
Oh.
So congratulations on that. I know a lot of us feel much safer in this fictitious world, knowing that a hero like the Rescheduler is out there protecting people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to congratulate you on your ability to slip into and make it possible for all of us to enjoy the real life ride of the broken down Tomorrowland. Don't panic, please. Please, people, do not panic. You can also receive wonderful advice whenever you like it from Ban Ki-moon.
Oh, great.
That's pretty legit.
It is.
Fantastic. You have a wonderful, wonderful roommate in Grover. I know. That was a win for all of us, because now we're all pissed about poor Grover. He's going to make a comeback. Just you wait.
I didn't know that he was on Hard Times.
Well, we just haven't heard from him in a while, is all we're saying. Of course, the outcome we were all hoping for, unlimited amounts of delicious worms. So you both got the most horrifying answer you gave. That feels right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that brings us to the end of the podcast.
Thank you so much for being here.
I do feel that we need to do our own individual episodes because there's a lot more I want to delve into. But for this particular episode and iteration, thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you all for being here. In case for some reason anyone wants to hang out, the reason that I can't is that I somehow also have to get to the Palace of Fine Arts for the sound check for Neil's. Neil Patrick Harris's tribute today, so I will kind of be rushing to go do that. But I have a show tonight called The Bat that I will be back for. So if you want to, I'll be more around for that. Not that anyone's asking. But sometimes I feel bad because during the festival, there are people and faces I see. And I'm like, hey! And then I'm like, ah! And then I'm just running. So that's going to happen again. But thank you. Thank you for being here. I just spit for probably the sixth time. I see little foam coming out of my mouth. And thanks for coming to Sketchfest, guys. Thank you. Goodbye. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.